Balls Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to the last show. I really appreciate it, and all the mail that we got was amazing. Let's talk about the fact that Jody Havnot and Andrew Kiss are not here right now. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and I wanted to still put a show out. So what I did was I got one of my oldest and best friends, Doug, to come and sit with me, and we were going to just bullshit about some of our experiences, and mostly his experiences. When it comes to Kiss, Doug has hung out with Paul. He has played with Paul at the House of Blues. He has played with Bruce Kulick. He has gone to Vegas to see them when they first played Vegas at the Palms. He's gone to Detroit to see them. He's gone everywhere. He saw them in their supposed last show.
When Peter kicked the drums off the stage.
Yes, yeah, you were there for that.
That was South Carolina, Charlotte, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I was there.
And you had
Sabobo. Don't forget Sabobo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When they were
trio. When Paul had a heart attack.
That's right.
Yes.
And they did a trio gig, and it was not so good.
Okay, well, I promise you, this is going to be fun. Okay, so what I want to start with is the typical stuff that I always bring on when I bring on a new guest. Who's your favorite member?
What is it that we're talking about? Prince's song Kiss,
yes,
right?
No,
that's
no.
What we're. I'm confused. I thought we were talking about Prince.
No, it's Kiss.
Kiss. Oh, the rock, the clowns.
Yes,
got it.
Okay, favorite member.
Paul Stanley.
Of course. Favorite song.
I always love Let Me Go Rock and Roll. It's just
right?
So. It drives.
Right.
I love it.
When you and I were in Detroit and that song started, you know, of course, Doug has an awful memory, and I always I'm like his biographer.
I think you make stuff up and I just go along with it.
He looked at me at the same time we looked at each other when they started playing that song. We both go, I love this song.
I think it's my favorite. Yeah. It just really drives. It's a cool rock and roll song.
And favorite record?
You know, I don't know. I see all these guys on Facebook going this record over that record. And I tell you, and you'll probably all shame me for this, but I have had all of my Kiss songs on my iPod shuffle for so long that I don't really know what one is on what. You know, I think the first record I ever got by Kiss was the somebody gave me the originals, the 3-pack with them
wow.
on fire. And so I always kind of love that. I used to mow the lawn and listen to Alive 3. I thought that had good energy. But most of it is just on shuffle. So I couldn't bring Destroyer, I guess, maybe would be it. I don't know. Those songs, I know every one of them. You know, the sad thing with me is I've been listening to these songs for 40 years and some of them I still don't know the lyrics. I'm not a lyric guy.
You're not the only one. I always say that when we were 7 years old and we were listening to Kiss, we had no idea what Love Gun meant. And we had no idea what...
Oh, I know what it's about now.
Yeah,
I could tell you.
Yes.
Like.
I thought about your back door.
He's singing about his...
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's one of the greatest movies of all time.
That was funny. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the first time you hear, you know, in here they're singing about the back door. I'm thinking the back door of the house, but
exactly.
No,
sure.
It's
well, I remember actually my very first Kiss concert with you.
Mm-hmm. Crazy Nights.
Crazy Nights, 1988, and somebody tapped us on the shoulder. I guess we were like 17, and somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, I think I dropped my roach. And you went, oh, I'm not looking for your roach.
I had no idea what they were talking about.
That was at the Omni in Atlanta.
Yep, yeah. It was a good place to see concerts.
It was a good place to see concerts. It was not a good place to be if you had to go to the bathroom because they had small bathrooms and a lot of men, and they had a drain in the middle of the floor.
It was just like a trough.
Pissing in the drain, pissing in the sink.
Yes.
It was just like, oh, this is unsanitary.
Yeah, I didn't. That was not fun at all. And it was, you know, the Omni though was very famous for so many things. Like Elvis played there, Kiss played. Everybody played there. WCW wrestling. It was just one of those really, really. It wasn't enormous.
We had terrible seats, though. We were nosebleed.
No.
We were.
No, we were section 101.
No.
We were the first section as they went up. I know
that was far.
We were that right behind the soundboard. Your mom got us the tickets, and I bought the T-shirts. You remember?
No. I think I remember Ted Nugent better. He was
all over the place.
He was amazing.
He was amazing. Remember, he was up on the top of the amps.
He jumped off.
It was amazing. Crazy. Yeah.
He was a great show.
Yeah. And, okay, so as you can see, Doug and I have had a lot of years together. We are now friends for 30 years. And KISS has been the glue that originally got us together. We played in a band together. We did Cold Gin Live for the first time.
Our first experience on stage.
Right.
We were sophomores in high school.
Yes.
Maybe juniors.
No, sophomores.
Yeah.
And we did Cold Gin.
Yeah.
And your kick drum pedal broke.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and you just kept... And you looked at me, you were like, it broke.
We made it through.
We made it through with our buddy Bob.
Yes.
Bob, I'm alive and well. Where am I? Anyway, that's my ace. Okay, anyway. All right, so as you can see, we've been friends for a long time, so there's some things to talk about. We're going to give you about 30 minutes, so here we go. Doug one day calls me up and he says, I'm going to the rock camp.
Yes.
And Paul Stanley is going to be singing with all of us.
2007, I went to the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, and I went specifically because Paul Stanley was going to do it.
Right.
And I wanted to play on stage with Paul Stanley, and that was unbelievable. And if you want to see footage of me playing with Paul, go to my website, ponyermusic.com. That's P-O-N-I-E-R music.com. And go to the About Us page, and you can see YouTube video. They actually did a little featurette of me.
Yeah, yeah, where they asked you about it.
Yeah, and you talked about Paul, and then you see me playing drums, rehearsals with Paul singing, and then it morphs into us on stage. And if you look at Paul and look to the right, I'm up on drums. We played rock and roll all night and party every day, of course.
And he sang every word back there.
It was surreal.
Right.
I tell you what, if I was a wealthy man, I would go to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp every 6 months.
Right.
That was probably the coolest week of my life. I mean,
wow.
Not only was, you know, I got to play and meet with Paul Stanley, but I played on stage with Dickie Betts. Bret Michaels was the coolest guy. He was so nice. Scotty Ian, I guess, was very funny. Told a great story. Jane Weedland from the Go-Go's was hysterical. If you go to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp and you can be in her class, be in her class. I met Bruce there. He was so nice.
Right, Bruce Kulick.
In fact, one of the cool things about Bruce is, you know, when we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with these guys. And so at lunchtime one day, it was probably about 3 days in, and I got my lunch, and I went to go sit down, and there was a seat next to Bruce. And I said, Bruce, I am a huge KISS fan. Do you mind if I sit next to you and annoy the shit out of you? And he laughed, and he says, go ahead. And he was a prince. He answered all the questions that I'm sure he's heard a million times.
Right.
And just the sweetest guy. And then, of course, afterwards, about 6 months later, we had him out to the store.
Right.
To do the he did a guitar clinic, and we played on stage.
We played on stage along with
Lee, the Goddess of Thunder.
Right.
Ooh, oh, wait. I just dropped a name there.
You did drop a name.
Look for that somewhere. That
was an amazing experience. I remember... when he came home from the camp, every time he goes out of town, he being Doug, he always brings me something strange back. And this time it was, he hands me this thing and I looked at it and it was Bruce Kulick's business card.
Yes.
And you said, put this in your collection. Nobody but you and I have this. And you were like, and do me a favor, don't call the number. And I was like, I'm not going to call it. I still have it put exactly. Every time I see it, I'm like, man, I wonder if that number's still good. But he would, I mean, you know.
Probably is.
It probably is good. He got married. And anyway, so where I'm going with this is not the fact that he played with Paul Stanley. It's that he had a conversation with Paul Stanley. And the conversation is funny and tragic to me at the same time. So I'll let – now, it all involves a T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so go ahead and tell the T-shirts.
So at Fantasy Camp, you know, there's your I don't know how to say it. There's your quasi rock stars like Bruce. Forgive me, Bruce, for saying that. Yeah. And then who else? Simon Kirk from Bad Company and Jane Weedland and Mark Slaughter. And they are your camp counselors. They're with you the whole time and they kind of oversee each band. And then there's your major rock stars, Paul Stanley, Scott Ian,
Brett Michaels,
Mickey Hart. And they come through and they do basically a meet and greet. They come through and they pose for pictures and they chat with you. They're probably in the room for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then there's like other things like we'll see clinics or concerts with them. So when Paul came through, I gushed. I mean, he's my favorite Kiss guy. He's, you know, I've known this guy forever. I was just freaking out. And one of the things I did is I brought a Pony Your Music shirt, my business, and I wanted to give it to Paul because I said, you know, I've probably got 50 of your shirts. I thought maybe you could have one of mine. And I brought an XL, which because I wear an XL and I figure most men wear an XL.
Right.
And Paul went, well, I'm going to have to eat a lot to fit in it. And I wasn't too terribly upset, but it was. And then he left it. When he was leaving the room, he left the shirt.
So what'd you do?
Well, I ran after him and I handed him the shirt. And I'm sure it got thrown away, but it was just...
That's not the point. First of all, he leaves the shirt. And second, I can totally see you grabbing it and going, Mr. Stanley, you forgot your shirt. And he was like, great.
Yeah, I know. And quite honestly, when I met Paul at Fantasy Camp, he was a little standoffish. And I tell you, and I won't say I was perturbed. I was disappointed because some of the other guys were warmer. Scott Ian, Brett Michaels especially, was the coolest guy.
You asked Brett. You went and saw Poison in Atlanta, and Bobby Dahl threw a bass at Brett Michaels, and you walked up to him and said, tell me about it, and he just...
Oh, that's what was so great. When Poison was in Atlanta at the end of the show, there was a skirmish, and Brett Michaels and Bobby Dahl got into it, and Bobby Dahl took off his bass and threw it at Brett, and it hit him and cut his leg. He actually had to go to the hospital and get stitches that night. So when I saw Brett at the Fantasy Camp, I said, you know, I saw you 6 months ago in Atlanta, and what was that about at the end? Because my friend Bob was like, oh, that's probably all stage. And I was like, I don't think it was stage, man. And Brett Michaels, he stood there, and he was like, let me tell you what happened. And I'm not going to sit here and tell the whole story, but we were dying. It was hysterical the way he was telling this story. And he just seemed so warm and personable, and he wanted to hang out and sign autographs and pose for pictures, and just the nicest guy. So that was great. That was really cool. Right. And some of the other guys were like that. Scott Ian was really cool. And so it was just, you know, Paul Stanley, from what I understand, and after reading his book, it's like, well, you know, maybe I forgive him.
Yeah,
and I've met Paul, I think, two other times where he was as nice as could be. So I don't hold it against him.
And just for the record, Doug got him back by meeting him on his birthday and not wishing him a happy birthday.
That was an accident. I didn't know it was birthday. I called you chuckleheads afterwards to tell you I met him. And then you're like, did you wish him a happy birthday? And it's like, I didn't know it was his birthday. But
well, you were at NAMM and you were buying guitars and you re-upped on the Washburns just because you were going to get a chance to hang out with Paul Stanley.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he was going to sign stuff. And I sent you the Kiss guitar strap and you signed it. By the way, if you'd like to get a Kiss guitar strap, just go to eBay.
That's right.
We've got 1,000 of them.
We have, yes. There's a Kiss guitar strap with the four solo faces on it, and we've got it for $7.79 and free shipping.
Sounds like Gene Simmons.
This guy in Atlanta bought a, what are those, storage bins?
Right, right.
And he bought a storage bin, and there was 1,000 in there. So we bought all of them at a price, and I estimate at the rate we're going, it's going to take about 27 years to sell all of them. But we sell about 7 to 10 a month, and so go on eBay and help us
look
with
for
the straps.
Anyway, and I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell you something else about his store in just a minute, but Okay, so you rehearse, How many times did you get to sing? Like, Paul came in and rehearsed at least a couple times with you,
No,
right?
Just once. You know, one time. Each band, there was like 9 or 10 bands, different classes, and each band drew a song out of the hat. So everybody had to learn a Kiss song, and then when we performed at the House of Blues there on the Sunset Strip, each band played, I think, 2 songs on stage, and the first song was a song in Dickie Betts. He would come out and play whatever song you were playing with. Dickie was in the Allman Brothers. And then the second song, you'd play a Kiss song, and Paul Stanley was right up front singing. And we happened to draw Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day. Secretly, I wanted to do Love Gun.
Love Gun, right.
But it was, I mean, how can you beat that? That's the,
right.
I mean, I was on stage with Paul Stanley, you know? And it's documented. I ain't making it up. You can go check it out. And then, of course, we had Bruce come out, and we played with him.
Right, yeah. I heard that his band was coming to town, and I called you, and I said, hey, Bruce is going to be in town.
Right.
You should see if he'll do a clinic.
Yeah, he was,
he was all about it. And then about a couple weeks later, I said, you know, it would be really good if we played with him. And then you said, I'll try. I never expected him to say yes.
Yeah, it was you and I and Lee.
And Lee, right.
And I tried to fool Lee. She didn't fall for it. But, you know, Lee, those of you who know Lee, the goddess of thunder, dresses up like Gene.
She was on VH1's Fanatic.
Yes.
And she hung out with Gene.
So I called Lee and said, you know, we're putting a little band together to play with Bruce. But Bruce says you have to dress up like Gene. And she didn't go for it at all. She was like, you're making that up. And, of course, I was. I was just teasing her.
It would have been so much fun if she'd have showed up.
Oh, it would have been great. But that was so cool. And I got to say that the warehouse where we performed in the back of our store was probably about 95 degrees that day, and Bruce was a prince. He didn't complain. He was a total professional.
Yes.
Great guy.
I, as a matter of fact, I have the entire thing he did on video. And at one point, and I savor this moment that he goes, he's talking about good guitar players, and he goes, now Joe back there, he's a really good guitar player. And I froze. I went, holy shit, did Bruce Kulick just say I was a really good guitar player? That's awesome! And for a while there, every time I opened my computer, instead of the music, dung, 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 it said, now Joe, he's a really good guitar player.
And Joe started to believe that.
Yes. I was so awful. I mean, he's sitting... Doug and I and Bruce are sitting in this little waiting area before Bruce comes out, and he is just talking so candidly with us. I'm looking at Doug like, we're sitting here with Bruce Kulick, and we're talking about some girl he's dating.
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember.
Yeah, of course you don't.
I don't.
but he remembers the guy telling me he dropped his roach.
That was funny because I knew what it was and you didn't, and it was just funny. You were like, ooh. And I, to this day, I tell you, I still, and if, you know, Bruce, hopefully maybe Bruce will listen to this. I doubt it. He's probably got better things to do. But
I'll tell you what he said to me, but we'll go. Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
We had Bruce picked one of the guitars in the store and played it on stage. It was a Schecter. And at the end, since he played it, I had him autograph it, and I've got kind of a twisted sense of humor, and I said, so is this going to make it more valuable or less valuable? And I regret saying that. That was a mean thing to say, and I'm very sorry to Bruce Kulick. I didn't mean it. It was a joke, and I feel bad to this day.
No, I wouldn't feel bad. It's funny. So a year later, or a couple years later, he's at the Kiss convention here in Atlanta, and I have made these just like I took the picture and of all, we took like a band photo, which was really cool. It was me and Lee and Bruce and Doug, and we did a photo together, and I got them blown up, and they also interviewed us for the paper. Did you do the interview? I know I did.
No, I think they featured you.
Okay.
It was all about Bruce, but then they talked to you.
You know, and basically I talked about how awesome it was. Everybody would always want to be in Kiss, like Tommy Thayer. And then I had the opportunity to jam with Bruce Kulick. Well, I had all these things made for all of us, and we all brought them to have them signed by Bruce. And we all signed them together.
Right.
So Bruce takes it, and he looks at me, and he goes, Oh, wow. You got a lot grayer since the last time I saw you. Dick.
It's like Seinfeld.
I was just like,
you've lost a lot of hair.
I was like,
I'm aware of that.
Yes. I was like, good grief. Did you just do that to me? I was like, I could go talk to Bobby Blotzer.
Oh, I insulted Bobby Blotzer.
Did you really? I'm
not
so
on
not
purpose.
Surprised.
Not on purpose. I had these. I had these Ludwig posters when I was a teenager, and I was like, dude, I had you on a poster in my garage when I was a kid. I said that trash can drum set. That was awesome, man. And he's like, and he had like a buddy there, and they're both like trash.
They're
can
hawking.
Drum
a,
set.
They're hawking a book at this point.
And I was like, oh yeah, man, it was awesome. It was a big double bass, and they were like airbrushed to be like trash cans. And he's like, dude, that wasn't me. And then later, I walked away, and I was like, oh yeah, that was AJ Perro from Twisted Sister.
That is awesome. Okay. So you can see where we're going with this. All right.
When I'm around rock stars, I tend to put my foot in my mouth. I did that. One of the other camp counselors was, what is his name? Now I'm not going to be able to tell the story, but he looks just like Johnny Fever from WKRP.
Okay.
He was in the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan.
Okay.
I can't think of his name.
It doesn't matter. Nobody listening to this knows those guys.
Sure they do.
Okay, they do.
They're all old like us. They know those guys. Jeff Baxter. Jeff the Skunk
okay.
Baxter.
Oh, Jeff the Skunk Baxter.
And
gotcha.
We're standing around in a circle, and I told Jeff Baxter, I said, I thought you were great in WKRP. And he looked at me like, what? And like all the other people in the circle started laughing because they got the joke. And then he was like, oh, ha, ha.
That's how he
got. Because you look just like Johnny Fever. It's like, how do you not know that? You look exactly like Johnny Fever.
Okay, so now let's see. We went to Detroit. We saw Kiss in Detroit
at Cobo Hall
for the. This is how it all happened. I'm in my class. I'm teaching a student. Their end of my class is over. They leave. I go online to see what's going on Kiss Online. There's a commercial. One last time. Cobo Hall or Cobo Arena.
Is Cobo still there? Probably is.
It probably is. But anyway, all of a sudden, at that exact moment, my phone goes ding, and I look. Oh, no. It's a message from you, and you said, plane tickets to Detroit, $275.
Couldn't have been that much.
It was round trip. Ticket to see Kiss in Cobo Hall. No. You did it like the Visa Priceless commercial.
Sure, sure.
And I was like, and I immediately got on the phone with my wife, ex-wife, but wife at the time, and I said, I want to go. And she said, you should go. And then we went, and it was a lot of fun. And the messed up thing was, well, first of all, the show was amazing. It was to be in Cobo Hall.
We had great seats.
It was like 13 or 14 rows from the stage. It was the debut of the brand new costumes. That they for the Sonic Boom tour, the stage where the Kiss logo was on the ground and Eric Singer came up out of the logo.
How do you remember any of this?
Well, and then
I've seen them 40 plus times. It all just kind of bleeds together.
Here's my favorite part of the show. Has nothing to do with the show. It has to do with our buddy Bob that's with us, and he is sneaking his camera in, basically up his ass.
Almost in his ass.
Okay.
And then he was disappointed when they didn't search him. He's like,
then,
oh, that was
and
easy.
Here's the best part. We get in, and that's when we realize you're allowed to bring in cameras.
Everybody's got cameras now.
We were allowed to bring in the camera.
It's just his camera was smellier than everybody else's.
It was literally up his ass. And then Kid Rock was at the show. That was really cool.
Didn't know that, though.
No,
we didn't see him.
No,
they showed the video.
They showed video of him meeting them backstage on the big – it doesn't matter. They also had the big sign from the back of Kiss Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people were there, and they were – you know. But when Kiss was about to come out, I mean, it was just like the most surreal for me experience, you know, to turn around and look at the back of Cobo Hall, like the picture.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And you're going, oh my God, this is just the craziest thing.
That was, I mean, it was really a how did we get here moment. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know, and the worst part for me after it was all over was realizing that I was no longer seeing them the last time they were going to play in Cobo Hall because they booked the second show.
Oh, the next night.
I was so mad. I was like, I'm going to get to see this awesome thing. And, and it was awesome. But at the end, I was like, damn, they're doing it again tomorrow night. And then they didn't even, I don't even think they knocked the building down.
Why don't you tell them about that tour book? Tell them how you're still mad at me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To
this day, I'm pissed off. So I walk up and I go, I see the tour books are $20 and it says Cobo Arena on it. It's so you can only buy them there. And I go to Doug and I said, hey man, I should buy like 10 or 15 of these things and take them home because on eBay tomorrow they're going to be worth a lot. He said, don't waste your money on that. I'm like, okay. We get in the plane, we fly back. First of all, the plane ride back with the amount of turbulence that we had, him and Bob fly so much that when I looked over during the turbulence and they were scared looking, I shit myself. I was freaked out. Now I'm going, they're gripping the seats like, oh my God. Like, that's going to save us if we plummet. Anyway, so.
Well, what are you going to do?
Nothing.
Put your hands up in the air.
So we get home. I immediately go on eBay, and these things are going for $100 a piece.
What do I know?
It's like, he's like, I'm looking at the 100 a piece, and I'm going, mother, I could have bought 15 of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. What do I know?
Well, stop listening to Doug. That's basically. That's basically.
Give financial advice. I buy all that crap. I don't sell it.
Yes, it's true.
But I do have something for sale, actually.
Yes. Listen, and that's one of the things I wanted. If you guys out there now, Paul has gone on to Ibanez now, which means that the Washburns, all you know, they're going to get a little harder to find. We have one. And Doug has had it for a little while now, and he just wants to get what you have in it.
What did I say the other day?
Like, it was like $2,400.
Yeah, it's like the Washburn PS2000 USA model. I don't know. It's
right.
The black one.
It's a really nice guitar.
It's the black one.
Okay, it's a really nice guitar. And, you know, basically we're sitting on it for a while. And I told him, I said, well, let's do the show and we'll offer it up. Maybe a fan out there will want it. And you said, if I could just get what I have in it.
If I can get my costs out of it, you can have it.
You can have it. So this is your opportunity to get one of the real choice, nice Paul Stanley guitars. You just look up Pioneer Music, P-O-N-I-E-R. .com online and
PioneerMusic.com.
PioneerMusic.com, and then just call and just ask for Doug, because I promise he will hook it up for you. Because because we sold all the other ones.
Yes, we did.
We had the fractured mirrors.
Yeah, we sold
and that
all
was
those.
Autographed, right? Or there was one that was autographed.
Yeah, we sold all of them. just this last one from the Washburn batch, and but I was actually talking about the Kiss casket.
Oh yeah, okay,
the
yeah,
the original one. I have one. I have the only one I've ever seen.
Really?
And if anybody wanted it, $10,000, you can have it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very, very rare. Never been used.
Except as a display
Halloween. Yes, we do display it. We stick a bunch of crap in it at Halloween, and we put signs that say dead stock.
Dead stock, and we sell it. So if you're out there, man, and you know these are some of the things that you want, just call us. Let us know. You can send me an email at podcastrockcity1, @gmail.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have time for one more. What do we want to talk about? How about how about the cruise?
Cruise.
Give me a testimonial about cruise.
It was fun. We did it twice. Did we do it twice?
I've done it three times.
We did it. Yeah, the first and the second year, and it was great. I mean. I tell you what was amazing about the cruise. I think the second year was we got tickets. We were in the pit, which
right.
was crowded. And to be quite honest, I'm too old for the pit. If I go to a concert, I stand, but I like having a seat
right.
in case I want to sit down. We saw my buddy Bob and I went and saw Springsteen several years ago when we were in the pit and we were standing for 5 hours. And I am too old for that.
I hear you.
So, but we were in the pit and it was really cool. I mean, we're right up front, and I think the highlight for me was, unlike the concert where there's the pit and then there's the security and then there's the stage, there was no security. There was just the people and,
right,
the,
and
stage.
The stage. Right.
And I actually got to reach up and pull a pick right off Paul's headstock of the guitar.
Right.
And that, to me, that was my Detroit Rock City moment.
Yeah,
when,
where they
when he catches the drumstick.
Yeah.
I was like, I pulled that off and I was like, oh, I just couldn't believe it. That was the coolest thing ever.
And the same thing happened to me. You guys were further to the right.
Yeah,
of
you
the
were
pit.
Right in front of Gene. We were dead center.
I was up against the,
right,
the stage.
Yes.
And when Paul, he never but one time made his way over to my side. And when he finally
Well, it's
did,
common knowledge that Paul and Gene did not like each other that much.
And I just reached up and I grabbed a handful. When we got back to our cabin, you guys were like, did you get any pics? And I was like, I had a handful. We were just divvying them out to each other. It was like, yes, this was so cool. But the second night, we went, our buddy Scott, who runs sound for Six Man, he gave us tickets to go, and we sat upstairs.
Yeah.
I left, and Jeff Pilson from Dokken came and stood with you guys.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, well, there you go.
I did sit next to Shannon Tweed, because, again, we were standing, and I was tired. And I looked over to the sound guys, and Shannon's sitting back there, and then there was, like, kind of a whole row of empty seats. And so I just went and sat down. And, like, Shannon and one of the other guys, like, turned around, and I went, don't worry, I'm not going to bother you. I just want to sit. And they were like, okay.
That's so awesome.
So
okay, so I hope you guys have enjoyed this show. Pioneer Music, it's where I work. It's Doug's store. You know, I can tell you, I can promise you this. This is a KISS fan owned. I mean, we have a mural of KISS from the Love Gun album cover on the inside of the store. We have Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley on the windows, painted on the windows on the outside. We have a bunch of rock stars, but there was no way Gene and Ace were not getting on there. And, you know, so this is a real KISS run music store, and a lot of them are, but this one is in Marietta, Georgia.
There you go.
And if you live in Atlanta, you could come in. If you're a KISS fan, come and check us out. You could walk right in.
Come check out my KISS room.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He has a KISS room with. I cannot even tell you how much crap is in there.
It's been a colossal waste of time and money.
Yeah, there's a pinball machine, a coffin, and everything in between, from the trash can to the lunchbox.
The Coca-Cola bottle.
Yeah. Oh, you have a Coke bottle.
Yeah,
that's right. From
Simmons,
France,
French
I think it was.
Coke bottle.
Yeah.
Bowling ball.
Yes, right.
Bowling pins. Fan-made
bowling pins
to go with
are awful.
Yeah, they are, but it's kind of funny.
It's funny. So. Anyway, well, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me, Joe. I've wanted to do this for a long time.
I know. He's asked me, and I've always said no, but here we are. And thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, leave us a review on iTunes. You can listen on podcastrockcity.com, and you can send us messages at podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys next time. Go Seattle Seahawks. I just pissed off a bunch of people from New England. Peace.
Greetings from Jan Bell, KISS Army. Strange Ways Podcast wants to invite you to a rock and roll party. Bon Jovi have not, D-Rock, and Clinton Harris for the strangest KISS podcast known to our scientists at this time.
Pretty mystical.
Your KISS Army bros celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder.
KISS!
You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher and blah, blah, blah. Just Google it. Thank you and keep on rocking.
They are serious.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
KISS!
It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
I'm Cassius Morris, host of KISS podcast Creatures of the Net.
Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a KISS fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better let it.
We'll see you here.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
KISS podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Is your newfound love of Axe body spray, leather wristbands, and mountains of hair care products driving those close to you crazy? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right. Their daddies are all right. They just seem a little weird. They even got their KISS records out. This is Ken from the PodKISS. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a KISS fan, chances are you've checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the PodKISS feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of PodKISS. Tell a friend about PodKISS today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. PodKISS.
That's a picture of Joseph KISS Sr., who came up with the vision of KISS in 1753.
Right, that's
of course a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph KISS Sr.
All right.
Hi, KISS fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original KISS crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with KISS during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website, www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it. And we hope that you enjoy it.